Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. And it is time to tell us who or what is on your list. It's time to let something out, get something off your chest, and feel a little bit better about it. And we'll reward the best one with a pair of tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins at the Ryman Auditorium. That'll be on Friday night, October 9th. That's a really, really good prize. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. Smashing Pumpkins at the Ryman on Friday night, October 9th. That's what's on the line, but you have to jump in there and get involved. This is a participation segment, and we would like to hear from you. Who or what has made you mad, and why? Who wants to start?
I can go.
Okay. I can start.
I'll go, Willie. You got it.
Go ahead, Chase. Oh, okay, okay. We're both going to toss it. All right, I'll start with this. On the list this week are the people that walk around when you're having conversation, and they say, "But I'm not sick." In other words, not realizing the whole thing about this whole COVID-19 thing is it spreads from people that don't feel sick, that don't have the symptoms, that pass it along to others. If you're paying any attention, you've known this by now. This is a fact that we've come to grips with. This is a big reason why we're doing this, right? If everybody were walking around and you knew who had it, it'd be a lot easier to continue our daily routine, right? That's pretty logical. But so the people but I'm not sick, you know, they want to hand you something, a drink or whatever, and I say, well, I can't take, you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but I'm not taking that from you. But I'm not sick. But we can't know that. I might be giving it to you. I don't feel sick. Like the Georgia, I don't know if you guys heard the Georgia governor, just like last week, he came clean at a press conference, and he said, we just found out that people who are asymptomatic can spread the virus. He said, we just found this out in the last 24 hours.
Really?
And everybody
really?
Was just looked at it like, really? We've known this for months.
Okay.
How did you just get this in the last 24 hours? I mean, he just looked like he was completely in the dark. So the people, the I'm not sick people.
You just made the list.
Thank you. I feel better now.
All right. I have not encountered that. Have you? That's been something
I've had
you've actually
seen. But I'm not sick. I know you don't feel sick, but we can't know. This is the whole thing.
I did see. Did you see? You know, we had so much footage of the spring breakers. Do you remember the young woman down in Miami, the blonde? They were sitting at like an outdoor cafe. And she was like, yeah, and we had this plan for a long time, and we come down here to party and have a good time and you know, blah, blah, blah. Do you remember? It was a viral video. I didn't realize it had like 40, ended up having like 40 million hits, that video. She was from Indiana. She went to IU. And I just saw a follow-up interview with her last night and how she has completely changed. Completely regrets 100% that interview with the TV station down there, and her life has been turned upside down from when that video went down or was aired, and how she, you know, lives with regret of everything that she said, you know, because it was the typical spring break interview, right? Like, yeah, you know, we're just here. I'm not worried about a virus. I'm just here to have a good time. Yeah, I'm just here to have a good time.
Yeah, you remember this was maybe 2 weeks ago, the spring break, when they kept showing all of the beaches in Florida just flooded with everybody, mm-hmm. and they were interviewing students and young people. They interviewed one person, and he went viral. You guys can probably picture him. I have no idea what his name is or anything. But evidently, and he said, you know, if I get it, I get it. You know, we were having spring break. You know, it was just one. There was several people doing that. It turns out one of those people in one of those videos was a Vanderbilt student. So I was like, all right, nice job representing the Commodores there, pal.
Oh, well, the group that I saw was from Franklin. They were high school kids from Franklin, and they were saying the same thing.
Right?
Like, oh, yeah, it was a really, really bad. You know, the facepalm emoji, that's what everybody was doing when they were watching that, going, oh, my gosh, please. Could you imagine if that was your kid? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I saw that. But anyway, I did see that video last night, or the interview with her and how she has completely done a 180 since that interview aired back during spring break.
Well, I understand, over a certain period of time, people were slow to pick it up, right? But by now, you should know the basics, right? If you're still running around and not understanding how this works, I mean, you come on, man. Snap into it. Just somebody give somebody a clue. Go down to the, use your social distancing, but go down to the pharmacy and buy a bottle of Clue pills.
Clue pills.
Here's a quarter. Go buy a Clue. Clue pills.
That
get an extra
our
dose
coach
while
at
you're
Medicine
at
Hat. Our pitching coach at Medicine Hat. His name is Hal Dyer. He was a classic character out of a baseball movie. He would say, "Somebody get a bottle of Clue pills for Donick."
Chase, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to start with a good list because I haven't had a chance to do this yet. So I want to, with everything going on right now and kind of changing, you've noticed that we have changed our lineup a little bit. And so I want to put Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Elijah Campbell, and others that have really helped us out with our morning show. Marquise, you're a part of this, and then our show. I want to put them on the good list because we've had to shift some things around starting with this week because of everything going on with COVID-19. So just want to give a shout out. Adam Vingan is a part of that, to all those guys for their hard work and their help for our morning show and our midday show. So wanted to do that and recognize those guys first.
Nicely done.
Okay. Now for the bad list, Bill O'Brien. I'm just kidding. whoever,
well, you can put him on the list. I mean, he's not a likable guy, so you can put him on the list.
He's making dumb
There's a
trades.
Lot of things. He's on a lot of people's lists in Houston.
There's no question.
He is. Every time we have Sean Salisbury
he
puts him on the list.
He just shreds him.
No, whoever knocked over my mailbox that I have worked very hard on over the course of the last month or so, I haven't brought this up on the show, I don't think, but the mailbox fell over, and I'm not the most handy individual when it comes to fixing things, but I got it fixed, put a little concrete around the bottom, it's standing up straight, and somebody or something, I don't know if it was what it was, but knocked the mailbox off the stand. The stand is still up, but the mailbox itself got knocked off, so after the show, I have to do more mailbox repair. So whatever knocked that off, I might be putting myself on the list for not being good at this stuff, but that's what I'm doing today.
Wow, we've got kind of the same theme for ours all around. So I'm going to start with the good. I was going to do the same thing. We're recognizing there was a lot of blue this morning. Things lit up in blue, people wearing blue in this market for good reason. And it was to recognize the people who, and we've talked about on the show, that go into the belly of the beast every day with their jobs. Especially in the medical profession and first responders and doctors and nurses and everybody that has to deal with this on a daily basis. And we should also extend it out, even though I know this doesn't fall under the blue category, but people that have to work at essential places, the grocery stores are open and the home improvement stores are open, and those people have to check people out. And, Walmart and Target and all those places are all central stores and open, and they have to deal with the public every day. So we're thinking about those people, and they don't get to work from home, and they are out there dealing with the public on a daily basis. So we wanted to recognize them and tell them that we're thinking about them, and thank you for everything you do on a daily basis, because we do still have to go get food and milk and bread and all that good stuff. And so somebody's got to check you out, and somebody's got to be there to work at those places, so we appreciate it. Now, for the naughty list, that was the nice list. The naughty list is I can't just avoid it. I have to go back and first put you and Ryan Porth on there, because your argument in the 9 o'clock hour is just silly. I mean, it's absolutely silly to have Bill O'Brien as the third best coach in the AFC South and Mike Vrabel 1 and Frank Reich 2. two guys that have been head coaches for 2 years.
But,
I mean,
but
come
how
on.
I worded the question, Darren, was right now, right at this
Wait a minute,
moment
we've been through
on
this.
April 10th.
We've been through we've this. Been through.
We don't
go
need
off
to.
The rails
yeah, we're not. We're no. You two are on the list. You're not.
Okay,
you're not
you
changing.
You just made
it.
The list.
It's absolutely ludicrous. That whole segment. I mean, come on. So you two are on that list for sure. And
Chase,
the other one,
I disagree with you, but I haven't put you on my list. I'm not that angry about it like
you.
Darren is. Darren,
well,
Darren's
I just
bitter.
I came back around bitter. And I was like, I can't not put them on the list. Like they both deserve to go on the list for that. That's just it's such a head shaker. So they have to go on.
Ryan has texted me about this, and he wants you to know that your hair is trash. I'm gonna let you take that up with him. I'm just passing on the message. But that's his response.
I hope he took his Cincinnati Reds bobbleheads home with him because if they're still in his office, I'm making a run after the show. So the other one was, ironically, like I said, Chase and I had the same theme. One of the projects that we took on last weekend was repainting our mailbox, ironically, right? The flag was a little, you know, wasn't really red. It was more very light, you know, pink, rose. It was fading, right? It was a fade mailbox, not fade. It's been a while since we had repainted, and so we repainted all that. Nice, shiny red flag, nice, shiny black mailbox. We were so proud of it after last weekend. I noticed on probably Monday or Tuesday at the latest, we had two sets of bird poop on there. And I, you know, I'm like, really?
Two sets.
Of all the places, you anywhere. And we just painted this mailbox. And you've already, within 24 to 48 hours, either one or two birds have decided to make that their spot. I mean, come on. You've got to be kidding me. So for that bird or birds that did that, right after we just painted our mailbox.
You just made the list.
Yeah, come on, be better. Jeez.
Are you saying one bird per set or
I don't know.
One bird,
I don't know if it was
set.
I don't know if it was one offender or two. I don't know. But there were two
two groupings.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the best way to say two areas that were hit on the mailbox, and so I don't know if that was one bird or two, but it's like, come on, you can anywhere, but right on the mailbox just after we painted it. So.
I mean, the birds are fired up right now. The weather's good. We got nests being built all over our yard. You know, birds are everywhere, right? So you got to beware. If you park your car, I know this. I mean, this is what I know. If I park my car on the street under a tree, there's going to be some groupings. Some sets.
Yeah, but they're in the trees, right? So that's why. You're parking under a tree. That's,
right, right.
That's like
that,
their
that
home or their perch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just flying over, and they've got, you know, they could hit the yard, they could hit the street, the driveway, anywhere in that area. There's all kinds of others, and they hit right there on the mailbox twice. And I'm like, really? We just did this. Come on. All right, we'll come back. We'll get a round of phone calls in here. Who or what is on your list? 737-1025, 737-1025. We've got a nice prize attached to it, but you have to get involved. We need participation, and we'll come back and do that on the other side. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have John Glennon from The Athletic. More coming here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins at the Ryman Auditorium. That is going to be Friday night, October 9th. That's our prize, but you have to tell us who or what is on your list. That's all you have to do. You just have to get involved in the show. We're asking for a little participation at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We have got a message from Ryan Porth. It looks like he has not taken his red stuff home. So you better get moving if because at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be in the car. I'm going to find out if that stuff's been taken home.
His office
is still sitting there. Aaron.
His office is locked, and those doors are strong. I don't think you're going to be able to get through that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with those bobbleheads when I get them. I'm going to put them on my mailbox. That's what I'm going to do.
Let them
so they can get pooped
grouped.
On.
See how many groupings you get.
So instead of hitting my mailbox, they can just hit his Reds bobbleheads.
See,
that's what I'm going to do.
I didn't insult you. I just took it. We have a different, you know, we're differing opinions, and that's fine. But Ryan went after something that's very near and dear to you.
Yeah.
It's your hair.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go after something that's near and dear to him.
That sounded dangerous.
I know. Things have really escalated here.
Have you seen?
I mean, Marquise is there. Marquise is already at the there. He
look, I'm not
a
conspiracy to any of your crimes, sir. I'm just going to stay in the studio. So, Darren, I'll let you in the building for sure, and then I'll leave after that. Let you do your thing.
I just got a tweet from Brian, and his question is, how do I obtain my free massage?
Yes, there's been a couple
people inquiring about the free massage.
That just came in just now. That was just tweeted our direction and says, how do I obtain my free massage? Well, we'll get back to you on that, Brian, and let us know how it goes. Let us know which massage you picked at Blue River Canyon Day Spa in Brentwood. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Who are on my list are two people who apparently don't know how to drive in parking lot. Last week, me and my fiance went to the K&S International Food Market, which is really cool, by the way, guys. They have this big parking lot, about two or three rows of cars, and on each side of the parking lot, there's an entrance. Well, I first go to the one that is closest to Edmondson Pike just because, you know, I just happened to pick that one. Well, there's a white truck that has its white lights on, you know, indicating I'm backing up. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm going to give him a little room while still behind him so he can back up and do whatever he needs to do. Well, while that guy is backing up, there's a red SUV that just decides to come and put his butt right next to me. And I'm like, and the white truck, you know, goes away, and then the red car darts in front of me. And I'm like, really? Did you not see me waiting for the white truck to back up? And then I was going to pull forward because I was directly behind him, and the truck was directly behind the cars in front of him. Then I was like, okay, whatever, I'm brushing it off. I'm going to go follow the white truck. Well, over there, I get behind the white truck, and again, a different person gets right beside me and gets in front of me. What are people doing in parking lots? I mean, is it the pandemic that's just freaking everybody out, and they have no more manners? I mean, what's going on?
It's a good question, Nate. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think I haven't been out much.
But do y'all understand what was happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
To be honest, I have no idea. I was just kind of appalled that it happened twice. I mean, I kind of thought, okay, that first guy's just, you know, a typical jerk or whatever. And then you go over there, and then it was a female the second time. And I'm like, what's going on today?
Wow. So. Some bad luck. All right, Nate. Hope your weekend is better. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Be safe. All right. Let's go to Mitchell. Mitchell, who or what is on your list?
Willie D is on my list.
Oh.
What?
Do tell. Oh. Do tell.
Yeah, and this, I'm going to try to get a rise out of him because he's the calmest person I've ever heard in my entire life.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Everything. So a couple of months ago around the Five Points area, I pulled in, and Willie liked my tweet, my half-hearted apology for getting in the right lane to go straight. So half apology. You made the list for the simple like. You could have said, hey, man, it's cool. Or you could have said, hey, you're a douchebag for doing that.
Okay, so
let's
recreate.
Yeah, let's recap.
Let's recreate the situation on the east side, Mitchell, because I remember this. I remember this happening on Twitter here. So let's go back through the play-by-play.
do it. Down South 10th at Woodland, there are two lanes. Typically, both lanes can go straight. Yep, right, left and the right. There's always somebody in the left lane that's turning, so you've got to sit there forever. So I often get in the right lane, go straight, immediately get in the left lane to turn left on Gallatin Road. So I did that maneuver. It's a wise maneuver. And I saw Willie D behind me shaking his head. Like, man, I'm turning right. You're going straight. Now I've got to wait for you. Yep, that's a kind of a jerk move in a way, but legal.
I didn't honk the horn, right?
He didn't honk the horn. That's right.
But he didn't tell you were number one.
The shake of disgust I haven't seen since I missed that fly ball in 1987. You know
did I throw
that?
Did I throw the hands out to the side, like, you know, shrug the shoulders, or was it just like a head shake?
It was the head shake of disappointment. That's what hurt. It's the disappointment that I saw on that pretty bearded face you have.
So it kind of let you down. I let you down there.
Well, you know what? To be honest, I let you down too. Not turning right. I could have turned right. But
you were just looking on Twitter for a little acknowledgement, saying, you know, it's okay. We all make mistakes. That easily could have been me, and I didn't give it to you. I just kind of gave you the like.
Well, Mitchell, if you listen to the show,
kind of a half-hearted, no emotion. You know, no extra step.
Willie's kind of made himself, you know, on some lists lately, and a lot of it's with Twitter.
I'm looking for the rise.
Some of it's on Twitter.
And you might remember me, and this is kind of funny looking back on it. I went to the Subway out there in East Nashville, saw Willie D grabbing a sandwich. I said, hey, man, you mind sitting with me and eating lunch? I want to ask you one question, Willie. Was that a sympathy lunch? Be like, man, I don't want to do that, but yeah, girl, shut up while I'm having my, you know, cold cut on wheat. Which
right.
was it?
Was that a sympathy lunch?
A sympathy lunch? Was it?
No, I think you've risen in status, especially with this call, Mitchell. That it was no question. It was not a sympathy lunch. And now you've demonstrated, you know, some great skills because you have caught me in a trap. I mean, there's no question. I deserve to be on the list for my actions here.
Wow. Well, in order to attempt to win these Smashing Pumpkin tickets, first off, I love the Smashing Pumpkins. It was the first concert I ever went to. My wife also loves the Smashing Pumpkins. And Willie D, you just made the list.
Nate just weighing in saying, yes, another person putting Willie on the list for mentioning a like on Twitter instead of a comment. He said, we now have a trend.
Oh, man. Double barrel action. Now they both got me. I'm dead.
That day we were on
do?
Demumbrian. Remember the day we did the show on Demumbrian? Oh my gosh, did you get just toasted on
yeah.
You just made the list.
Yeah.
That was your Twitter stuff.
At the Tin Roof. Oh,
at
yeah.
Tin Roof.
I
you
got completely bombarded.
Dusted. Absolutely dusted at Tin Roof that day.
I just liked Nate's tweet.
Well, you just liked it. All right, let's go. Let's get Darren in here. Darren, who or what is on your list?
Fellas, did we just find out that Sir William Alexander Donick III is a normal person like us?
I got to be honest. It says it's a real indictment on Mitchell the caller because the fact that he got a head shake from Willie says that he was doing something really egregious.
He's just like us, man. He's going to be in Us Magazine one day. Okay, fellas, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
I don't care that the NHL season ain't going right now. I don't care if it's July and I'm in the Sahara Desert filming Naked and Afraid. There's one thug I can't stand, and his name is Thug Corey Perry. Corey Perry, you can kiss my beep.
That was awesome. I think anybody who puts Corey Perry on the list should win. Personally, any Predators fan would agree with that call.
I put the question out. I've been sorry during the Preds Replay, I've been trying to throw a question to the audience throughout the broadcast in the second period, and that was one, like, who were the top villains? Because it was a game where David Perron was in there. He's notorious for stirring it up. But Corey Perry was on. I asked for a top three. I think he was in the top three, if not number one, of every single list. It was just a matter of whether he was one or two.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. Like I said, somebody should. You probably win just by putting Corey Perry on the list because there's so many people that are like, yes. Chase, you have a text?
I do.
Somebody has text one in?
Yeah, this is from Edward. I am a cable technician, and I get calls to go to people's houses for things that can wait until after this mess is over. It's not essential to have your caller ID working on your TV. Get your phone and look that or just answer the damn thing.
That is well said. I think that is fair. That is more than fair.
And, yeah, I thought that was a pretty – that was a pretty good one. So, Edward, thank you.
So, wow, we have learned a couple of hotspots. So Willie, somebody got to – so maybe we're seeing a little bit different side. So we learned on this show, if there's anything we've gotten out of these quarantine shows, is there's Road Willie, which, you know, we've seen, but we don't get to see it on a regular basis. We have seen it during the playoffs. But there is a Road Willie. So we've learned that, and now we're learning that the hot spot to kind of get a rise out of Willie, which is really difficult to do. I've probably mastered it better than anybody over 17 years of doing shows together, of getting a rise out of him. But we're learning that maybe in the car, maybe a little road rage can get a rise out of one William Donick. I think we're learning things. We're learning the hot spots.
It's good to learn.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy being on the list every now and then. It kind of gives you a good feeling.
As the caller
gives
said,
you a
Willie's,
good feeling.
Willie's starting to turn into all like all of us. All right, we will come back, and we will talk with John Glennon from The Athletic, and I will let you guys know that he weighed in on the brain teaser yesterday and was, well, I'll just tell you. I'll tell you where John was in very, very small company yesterday with yesterday's brain teasers. He reached out to me privately, and I'll explain on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We had heavy participation in our brain exercise / brain teaser, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. Lots of participation. We've been doing it every day this week. Today's is up and going. I've tweeted it out. I think, Willie, you have also tweeted it out as well. But we have today's brain teaser up there, so feel free to weigh in. A lot of you already are. But yesterday there was heavy, heavy participation. And I said, you know, about 85% of everybody got it wrong. Now, a lot of people did take second or third. But what's amazing is I don't tell anybody the answer till usually late at night. So I just kind of let people guess away. And what's always interesting to me is people that keep guessing, and I haven't told them if they're right or wrong. But somebody, if I told you 85% were wrong, the people that got it right, a lot of them were probably second or third go-arounds. Our next guest, guys, was on a very, very, very short list. John Glennon from The Athletic, he privately asked me if his answer was correct, and John Glennon nailed it on the first try yesterday, was 73. And he now joins us on the show. John, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank my University of Virginia degree for at long last paying off in some significant way, shape, or form.
My guess is you're still paying that off.
It's probably the case, yes. But yeah, I'm glad you started with that, Darren, because I was going to ask you. I did submit my answer on Twitter very, very early, and I was wondering if I had made the cut. I was looking forward to one of those nice $50 deals for a nice de-stressing massage. I didn't know if I was an early enough winner to make the cut or not.
Oh, you, my friend, especially on the first crack, you definitely. In fact, I may throw in a couples massage at Blue River Canyon Day Spa in Brentwood just because of that.
Outstanding. The wife will be quite pleased to hear that.
Good job by you. Like I said, and I'm being serious. There were – I don't know the exact number. There were so many I'd have to sift through everything, but there were – I mean – I very, very few that nailed it on the first crack. So good by you.
Thank you. It was very detailed. It was good puzzle. Hope you keep those up.
Well, we're trying to make sure our brains don't turn to mush during quarantine times, right? So
indeed.
How do you think this is going to work? What do you think is the mindset right now of John Robinson and his staff and the scouts and Mike Vrabel of getting ready to navigate something that they've never had to do before? I mean, this is weird, right? There's not going to be fans. They're not going to be in a war room. These are different times. How do you think they're approaching this, and what do you think they're talking about as we sit here a couple weeks out?
I imagine that they are putting their IT guys through the ringer right about now, trying to work out every possible system that you can. Because as you said, you know, we're so used to seeing the war rooms and everybody packed in there together and making communal decisions and so forth. And that is, the very antithesis of social distancing. You know, we've got a lot of people that are going to be in their separate homes, texting and calling and so forth. So it's going to be a challenge, you know, and I think this has been pointed out too, but, you know, things like trades, you know, that take a little bit of time, maybe those aren't as likely to happen this year just because of the, you know, the difficulties in communication, you know, from within one team and between teams as well. It just takes a little bit longer, I think, this year. You know, and there's been some speculation that maybe a little bit of time is added to some of the picks, maybe especially in the later rounds, to accommodate that. You know, if a team wants to make a trade, you know, especially in those later rounds, things click by pretty quickly because of the time that they're given. So maybe we'll see a little bit more time given, but it's going to be a draft like no one here has seen in quite some time.
Yeah, and at 29, you never know what's going to fall their way. What we have figured out, John, is it's extremely difficult to kind of get into John Robinson's head and figure out, you know, what he's going to do because, you know, for the most part, since he's been the general manager, you know, when they pick, it's like, oh, okay, well, none of us were predicting that. He certainly has done that with his trades. It seems like, you know, out of nowhere, boom, there's a Titans trade, and nobody was suspecting that trade was going to happen. I think it's extremely difficult to even throw out names. Who knows what it'll look like at 29? I simply said yesterday on the show, I'm not even sure if we did a poll of what position would he draft if we could get, you know, a majority on that. So I'll ask you, if you had to pick the position, what do you think is number one on their board? If they found the right guy they would like to address that position, what would it be?
I think you could make a decent case for three positions. I would say, obviously, D-line, you know, with the loss of Casey, and even though they signed Jack Crawford, you know, I think he's more of a rotational depth guy. I think you could make a case for offensive lineman, a tackle, even though you've got Kelly penciled in as your starter. I think you're going to need somebody for the future. And I think cornerback, too, especially, obviously, if Logan Ryan doesn't come back, you're going to need a good third corner, a good guy who can cover in the slot as well. So I think those are all three possibilities. I think in my mind, the most pressing is probably defensive line right away because, again, the right tackle, you've got Kelly penciled in. Corner, you've still got Adoree and Malcolm Butler coming back. Right now on the defensive line, you've got a big hole, you know, where that third starter was. So that to me is the most pressing. So I would think, you know, maybe it's that. That's where my next mock is going to go, I think. And you can read all about that next week in the Athletic.
Well done. So let me throw this your way and see if you agree or disagree. I think there are only two positions you could make a case that they wouldn't draft no matter what. And let me explain real quick with that first pick. I don't believe they'll take a quarterback, and I don't believe they will take a tight end, no matter who was on the board. I feel pretty good about that because I think it's unrealistic to think that, you know, Burrow or Tua would be there 29. So I don't think those two positions would get addressed no matter what. And I didn't throw in the running back position because I did want to ask you if, you know, the number one guy on their list was, I don't know, DeAndre Swift, let's just say, and he's there. If the best running back in the draft, according to them, is there, do you think they would spend the 29th pick on that or no?
If I had to put money, I would say no, just because we know in one way, shape, or form, Derrick Henry is going to be coming back at least for next year, if not for more, and that's going to limit the amounts of opportunities that a running back pick this year is going to get at least for 1 year. So, do you really want to use a first round pick in that regard? Not out of the question because, hey, in another year, Derrick Henry might be gone, and you'd be looking at that back. But I would tend to think that there are positions that are a little bit more pressing, and I agree with you, too, on quarterback. Even if you find somebody that you really like, you know, you're pretty much locked into Ryan Tannehill now for 2 or 3 years. The way his contract works, I believe, you know, fairly early in the offseason after this coming year, the Titans basically had to commit to his third year. So for the most part, you know, the Titans are kind of locked into Tannehill for a while, and I don't think there's a real good, you know, likelihood that you want to take a quarterback and have him sit for that amount of time, especially the way, you know, contracts are in terms of length are set up today.
John Glennon is with us from The Athletic, talking all things Titans right now as we count down towards the draft. And, you know, just picking up on that, John, you recently wrote about Logan Woodside's case to be the backup. So give us that, because it fits into the context of what you just discussed in terms of, is there another quarterback in the cards here?
Yeah, you know, I think Logan Woodside has a few things going for him in terms of, maybe trying to win that number two quarterback spot for last year. You know, one, I think it's pretty clear that Vrabel and Robinson are both high on this guy. You know, they've talked about him several times. They chose to bring him back and sign him to a futures contract this year, even though he hardly got to play last year. He was on the injured reserve practice squad. Then, secondly, again, I don't see the Titans drafting a quarterback in the early rounds. So if you're thinking about drafting a quarterback in the later rounds, well, is he really going to be better than a guy like Logan Woodside, who's coming back? And kind of that's the third point, too, is that Logan Woodside is familiar through the past couple of seasons with the Titans system as opposed to somebody coming in new. And I think the less off-season that we have means less time for anybody new to come in, whether that's a draft pick or a free agent, and learn the system and learn the scheme. So to me, I think the more time goes on without an offseason, I think that betters Logan Woodside's chances as well. I still think they'll bring somebody in, a veteran, at some point. But, I think he's going to get a decent chance of being number two.
That's another theme that you picked up on. What are the effects of not having an off season? You just hit on one of them. Another player you centered in on that you think would be affected, and maybe not in the best way, by not having the OTAs, et cetera, would be Jeffrey Simmons. Tell us why.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, basically last year, Jeffrey Simmons, you know, got in there in week 7 with no off season whatsoever. We all know he was coming back from the ACL surgery and didn't have an offseason, didn't have OTAs, didn't have mini camp, didn't have training camp. So, in effect, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was using half the season that he played for his training camp, and his offseason. So, I think, you know, given the opportunity for a full offseason to kind of hone his skills, you know, to get more and more reps, I think, that would be a huge benefit to him. And the fact that, you know, he may be changing responsibilities and getting increased responsibilities as well with Casey gone. I think when you're in that situation as a second-year player, huge benefit in the offseason. In some ways, he's almost like a rookie in that regard because he hasn't had that whole experience. So, yeah, he's one guy I think that'll certainly be impacted by a shortened offseason.
And you also, and for some of the same reasons you just described, Nate Davis would fit into this category as well, true?
Yeah, and I think a few of those second-year guys, like Nate Davis missed, you know, a bunch of training camp, and Nate Davis is going to have to get used to working with Dennis Kelly as opposed to Jack Conklin. You look like a guy like DeAndre Walker, their fifth-round pick last year, you know, who was obviously injured very early in training camp, missed the whole year. This would have been great time for him, you know, the offseason, the OTAs, to get some time in, and probably even, you know, Amani Hooker as well, another guy going into his second year. Maybe with Logan Ryan gone, maybe he's going to get some different responsibilities next year, you know, some more, you know, responsibility given to him by the coaches, some different positions perhaps. You know, and again, the less time you get in the offseason, the less adaptations you can make and the more you have to rely on last year.
We're talking to John Glennon from The Athletic, and kind of building on some of this conversation about not having the offseason. You know, one thing that I was already concerned about, or not having OTAs, I should say, one thing I was already concerned about is, you know, Mike Vrabel taking over as the defensive coordinator. You're bringing in Jim Haslett to be a part of the coaching staff. So there's a little bit of a change there. And not to mention, John, Arthur Smith going into year two as the offensive coordinator and now having a full season with Ryan Tannehill. So I'm a little concerned about some of that and being able to have those meetings and those discussions.
Yeah, I think so. To me, especially there on the defensive side, as you mentioned, you know, they haven't formally introduced who's going to be the defensive play caller yet, but certainly, you know, Mike Vrabel is a strong possibility. You know, and Mike Vrabel has been a defensive coordinator in the past and obviously has got a very good defensive resume. But at the same time, nothing really replaces kind of that game action in some of the OTAs that they tried to simulate last year in terms of a play caller being, you know, forced to make pressure decisions on the spot. And, of course, with Mike Vrabel, if he is indeed a defensive play caller, he's got the other coaching responsibilities to concern himself with as well. And, you know, then if it's Shane Bowen, again, that's a brand new role for him, defensive play caller. If it's Jim Haslett, he's learning, you know, a whole new system. And I think in general, you know, with so many, you know, two or three new faces on that defensive side of the staff, you know, the more time you can get in these new roles, the better off you'd be. So, yeah, it's shortened off seasons are tough for everybody, that's for sure.
Do you think that maybe what you were just saying about they haven't announced who the defensive play caller would be, do you think that they were going to figure that out during this time, that it could be somebody like a Jim Haslett that's done it before, it could be Vrabel, but now more by default just because of familiarity, he's going to go with himself?
I would think that those chances increase. You know, sort of like we talked about Logan Woodside and his chances getting better and better just because somebody new would have less and less time as this abbreviated offseason goes on. Same situation for Mike Vrabel. You know, even last year he was very involved in the play calling, certainly, and you know, very, very familiar with this defense, certainly, more so than, you know, Shane Bowen knows his outside linebacker staff and Jim Haslett is new. So I think, yeah, familiarity would certainly increase the chances of Mike Vrabel being the play caller at this point. Again, you know, the less time you have in the offseason, the harder it is to adapt and to try a new role. So, yeah, that's where I'm looking as well.
What do you prefer, Swedish or deep tissue? Where do you go with that?
I could go with a little Swedish, I do believe. I'll have to ask the missus if it's a twofer. You know, I don't know if she's a fan of the Swedish or what, but that sounds good to me.
Well, these are the tough decisions that the Glennons will have to talk about this weekend moving forward on which massage they're going to get. Good job on that. Thanks for joining us, and you have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is John Glennon, who nailed yesterday's brain teaser on the first crack, and he is with The Athletic, and we do appreciate him joining us. Willie, why don't you tell us about Lee Company, and then we'll come back and do a little trivia with everybody.
All right, sounds excellent. Let's talk about Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to call. And, of course, their services are available in many ways. I always tell you about the home maintenance plan. And the home maintenance plan is going to keep you on the ball as a homeowner. And you might be thinking about these things a little bit more if you've been working at home. You're kind of evaluating, you know, how efficiently is my home running these days. Well, home maintenance plan can help you with that because you're going to get four annual phone calls for a small monthly fee, about $12 a month. You'll get the calls about your air conditioning unit, your heating unit, your plumbing, and your electrical system. So all four of those, they're going to come in once a year to inspect, make sure they're running properly, make recommendations, and if there are some repairs that need to be made, you'll get discounts on those repairs. It all happens at Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Or go online at LeeCompany.com and make an online reservation. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.